Thank you very much for the introduction. Before I get started, I would like you to admire this beautiful picture I picked for my first slide. You can see there are some of the volcanoes in my country. I am from Guatemala, and I study boron adsorption on Guatemalan soils that had been influenced by the materials expelled by these guys you're looking right now. So I would like to start stating the question that gave origin to my research. This question came after many years of consultancy work with my professor, Dr. Malcolm Sumner, in this area working with many crops. And the question is, which factors limit boron availability on Guatemalan South Coast soils? So during the next 10 to 11 minutes, I would try to walk you through the path that I'm following to try to come up with an answer for this question. So first I'm going to start talking about why is boron a problem, some other works that have been done about boron and soil interactions in volcanic regions, other volcanic regions, about the structure of my research, some results that we have gotten so far, and some conclusions to start to answer the initial question. So starting with why is boron a problem? So a distribution of about 2,800 samples from agricultural fields in this area of Guatemala show that about 90% of the soils have less than 1 milligram of B per kilogram of soil, which can be considered low for the majority of crops. And then about 60% of the soils have less than half ppm, which is actually deficient for all of the soils, for all of the crops grown in the area. So as you may know, boron is an essential nutrient, and when deficient, it has to be applied as fertilizer. But then the problem in these soils is that after you apply it as fertilizer, crops keep showing the same boron deficiency symptoms, compromising yields and quality. So for example, you can see here a banana leaf with the typical corrugation boron deficiency symptom, sugarcane stalk with a hollow heart, with not enough boron to translocate sugars into it, and the also classical witch's broom boron deficiency symptom in sugarcane roots. So in order to try to state an hypothesis to understand why is boron deficient, we want to study what has been done in other volcanic soils about boron interactions. And we found some studies that talk about boron adsorption in Hawaiian soils, finding that maximum adsorption capacities are about 280 milligrams of B per kilogram of soil in Hawaiian soils. For Mexican soils in the same study, about 572 milligrams of B per kilogram of soil, and in Chilean soils ranging from 300 to 2,000 milligrams of B per kilogram of soil. So if you think about the normal fertilizer rates that you would use, it's about 1 kilogram of B per hectare, and your soils have this huge capacity to absorb B, then the soil that is left in soil solution for plant uptake is obviously being limited by adsorption reactions. So based on that, the authors suggest that the surface functional groups that are actually doing the job in absorbing the boron are non-crystalline aluminosilicates, such as alphane and imogolite, iron and aluminum oxides and hydroxides, organic matter functional groups, and the extra layer silicate clay. So with this information in mind, we designed our research, which I'm going to present now. So we went to the southern region of Guatemala. It's all these soils that are below the volcanic chain. And we took 25 representative soils based on three geographical regions. So first in the central area, those are soils that have been mainly influenced by volcanic ash. And then we have eastern and western zones that are soils derived more from basaltic lava flows, also affected by volcanic ash spill for the central volcanoes, but not as much as the central area. And then we state our the objectives of the study in order to solve our question about why is boron unavailable. So we measure boron adsorption isotherms. We measure also some soil properties to try to quantify the ambient character or the volcanic ash influence of the soils, and finally made some statistics to correlate the soil properties and the volcanic influence of the soils on the boron adsorption capacities. So for boron isotherms, we use concentrations in solution of initial concentrations ranging from 0 to 64 milligrams of B per liter. We use 5-gram samples to a relation to 25 milligram solution, and we use the colorimetric method of azymethine H to determine boron in solution. For the MD character, we extracted amorphous aluminum with an acid oxalate structure. And we also measured some other properties such as clay content and organic matter that had been also related to capacities of adsorbing. So about some results that we have gotten so far, we see that our boron adsorption isotherms fit the Langmuir empirical model, such as you can see in the graph. And we also calculated the maximum adsorption capacities for these soils, which were very variable, ranging from about 3 milligrams of boron per kilogram to about 130 milligrams of B per kilogram. So contrary to what other authors have suggested, that boron adsorption capacities are related to clay content, we found that for our soils it's not necessarily the case, but they are related to the clay reactivity or the amorphous character of the clay fraction. So for example, for sandy clay loam soil with about 30% clay versus sandy loam with just 10% clay, we found adsorption capacities of 6 and 130 milligrams of B per kilogram respectively, which was not making sense in terms of clay content. But then when we went to the Andy characteristic of the soil and we extracted amorphous aluminum, we found that the soil with higher clay content and less adsorption capacity had a lower amount of amorphous aluminum in the clay fraction, whereas the sandier soil with higher adsorption capacity had a really, really high content of amorphous aluminum per kilogram of clay. So when we related this amorphous aluminum extraction with the 25 soils that we had, after statistics, we showed that amorphous aluminum explained 59% of the variations of adsorption capacities we observed. And then we wanted to get a single easily measured property to try to give farmers an option to know how much boron they need to apply. So we found this correlation between pH measured in fluoride with the amount of boron that is adsorbed at equilibrium with a soil solution concentration that is adequate for plant uptake. So we found that for the central soils that have the higher volcanic ash influence, really good correlation between this pH and fluoride. For the ones that are not familiarized with this measurement, well, what it basically does is that it exchanges hydroxyl functional groups in the surface with the fluoride on the suspension, and then the OH surfaces increase the pH. So that's why you see the high scale of pH in the x-axis. And then we could see that for the western and eastern soils that are basaltic lava flows and also have some volcanic ash influence, but not as much as in the central area, we had also a pretty good relation with a different slope, which means, and you can see also the pH values on where you can find these soils are actually lower than the ones for the volcanic ash more influenced soils. So for me, I think this is the best outcome of the research so far, having an easily parametered which one we can use to kind of predict in which extent are we going to absorb boron to be able to supply it to the crops in a good concentration. So when we watch to the organic matter relation, as other authors suggest as well, that it has a strong influence about boron absorption, we found that for our soils, only for those with less than 20% clay, organic matter becomes important in terms of boron absorption. So this kind of suggests that the relative importance of the functional groups adsorbing B may be different for soils depending on the mineralogical and physical chemical properties of the soils themselves. So based on the results we have gotten so far, we kind of have some clues to start to give an answer for our initial question about which factors are affecting boron absorption on these soils. So coming to the conclusions, we can say that Guatemalan soils have variable boron absorption, as you saw on the first one of the first slides. It's very variable, ranging from 3 to 130 milligrams of B per kilogram of soil. That these absorption reactions are the ones limiting availability of boron on this region. That amorphous aluminum and organic matter are the main surfaces absorbing B, amorphous aluminum being a measure of this volcanic-derived mineral, such as allophane. And that location, pH in sodium fluoride, and organic matter can be used to predict boron behavior in these soils. So in this last part, we're working now to develop a multiple regression model to try to understand how can we predict better this behavior, not only in terms of the pH measurement that I showed you, but also taking into account organic matter. And I would say the most important thing is knowing where you're standing in the map, because if your soils have, if the soils from one region have more volcanic ash influence than the other ones, then you're talking about very, very different picture. So finally, I would like to acknowledge a Nordic Fertilizer and Ingenio Magdalena, two Guatemalan companies that helped me in the development of the research. And thanks to you for your attention. If I think I have time, I would like to.
Sorry, yeah, you go first, then you second, okay?
Very nice presentation, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The one thing I couldn't understand, one of your graphs shows an ash content when you studied the boron ash absorption, where the pH was very high, about 9 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly boron, it is in the soluble form at that kind of pH.
Okay, he's asking about the pH ranges on the graph that relates absorption and pH, right? So I'll go back to show you the diagram. As I said, this is a pH measurement in sodium fluoride suspension, not in water. Like, this is not the pH of the soil itself. Yeah, it's just a, let's say, a soil test measurement that you would use in order to understand the extent of the boron absorption. And depending on how much volcanic influence it has, or depending on how much amorphous minerals it has, it will shift more to the alkaline phase. So you can see you can have pHs as high as 10.5. And the natural soil pH is about 6.5.
So boron is mostly in the barboric form.
Excuse me?
Boron is mostly at that type of pH. Normally, it should be barboric.
Not necessarily that way. This is just the pH measurement in fluoride. Let's say it's independent of the speciation of boron in the soil. It's just a parameter that helps you understand whether it's going to stay on the surface or it's going to come into solution to plant uptake.
Okay, Dan.
I was just going to mention, I think I recall in andesols, when they dry out, they
okay, yes. Well, he's asking about the changes that andesols have when they dry out, right?
Right, and how that might affect particle size.
Okay, so that's an interesting question, because like when we measure the particle size analysis, we had really hard times trying to disperse the soils. So first, we didn't use high temperatures to dry the soils. We air dry them, because whenever you heat up amorphous minerals, you lose the water of its structure. So then you lose this andic property. So that's the first consideration we took. Do not use high temperatures to dry them. And then the second one, we used very high concentrations of dispersant on the BioCos method to the clay size determination. And also the shaking period was a little bit longer, because the first trials, we still got the we couldn't disperse as we wanted the soil, so we took those considerations when we measured the soil texture.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, that would be the last one. Okay, over there.
The y-axis scale on that graph is really different to your other graphs?
Yes. Yes. This is actually showing the boron absorbed at an equilibrium with a concentration in solution that is the ideal for plant uptake. So if we go back to the boron absorption, you imagine you have a maximum of 60, then like your y-axis will have that scale. But that's going to be like about 50 milligrams of B per liter in soil solution, which would be really toxic for plants. So for this single measured, we are suggesting that we calculate based on the empirical model of Langmuir how much would be in equilibrium with a soil solution concentration that is actually good for plant uptake. That's why you can see the change in the... yes, it's a function of the slope, and the value towards it, it gets the plateau on the curve.
Well, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.